Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It is episode 64 of Stands and Fits, presented by the Professional MBA Program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State. Recording tonight in the Carl Chevrolet Studios, and we are our heroes.
We are. We saved the studio.
We did save the studio. We appear to have a slight leak.
A minor roof leak in the Carl Chevrolet Studio right now.
But luckily we were here, we were able to recognize the problem, and we are now the ones tasked with preventing larger problems.
Yeah. So you got the old glass jar from the kitchen, and it is now containing the problem. Very high-tech stuff going on.
Exactly. We saved the day. Saved the Carl Chevrolet Studio from being completely underwater.
Yep. So you're welcome.
I don't know how to transition from that.
Me either.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good. It's very rainy, and that's why it's obviously dripping in here, but otherwise doing all right. Pretty normal day.
Pretty normal day. That's good.
Had the old NFL draft over the weekend. So
NFL draft over the weekend. Who else is underwater? The Oakland Raiders are underwater.
Yes.
The Arizona Cardinals are no longer underwater. Now with number one overall pick Kyler Murray, and number one pick of the fourth round, Hakeem Butler.
They did not wait long to fully cater to Cliff Kingsbury.
Would you? Like you would look in those eyes and you'd be like, yeah, you can draft whoever you want to, Cliff.
Ryan Gosling, you can do whatever you'd like.
I'd let Cliff Kingsbury do whatever he wants to me.
I think I would too. Like of when the time that Cliff and Fred Hoiberg were coaching in college, I guess they both are, I can't say that because Fred's back in college now. But at one point, they were both coaching in college.
Right.
Would you say that those were the two hottest physically attractive coaches in college?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'd have to be up there.
Yeah.
I know that Tony Bennett has his fans.
Mm-hmm. I think he's kind of got a little bit of salt and pepper.
Yeah. Recently, he's got though. That older man vibe, even though he's not that old.
Yeah.
You know, he's just got that older kind of.
It's like, you know, he just looks a little bit more experienced.
Yeah, yeah.
And some women are into that, for sure.
Right. Fred just looks like the good old American boy.
Yeah, he's like the Captain America,
yeah,
I would say. And then Ryan Gosling looks like a playboy.
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury, yeah. Cliff Kingsbury.
They're interchangeable. It's all the same.
Right, yeah.
So.
Now that we've started the podcast off on that note.
Yeah, great note.
What do you think of the fit for Hakeem?
It's good. Obviously, they're going to throw the ball around a lot. So, and obviously, Cliff Kingsbury saw him play quite a bit in college, knows what Hakeem's strengths are. So, I feel like if he does get out there and get some snaps in the pros, then they're going to know what to do with him, which is good.
I was asked on the radio yesterday how Iowa State people reacted to Hakeem saying that he wished Texas Tech had offered him. How did you feel about that?
I mean, it's fine with me.
Well, that's what I said. I was like, I don't think anybody really cared. Hakeem didn't have any offers. I'm sure he would have been happy with anything, really.
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing where even if you commit to Iowa State, I mean, yeah, you could always grow up dreaming of getting – if you're a college basketball player, you can grow up dreaming of going to Duke, getting offered from Coach K.
Right.
It doesn't mean you – I mean, like, I'm sure he still loves Iowa State and enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I don't think it was, like, by any means a slight –
to Iowa State.
At Iowa State, it was just like...
Yeah, he had his mind set that if Texas Tech offered, he would have went there, and they didn't, so...
Yeah, I said I think that Hakeem would have been happy if anyone offered him because he only had, like, one offer. So
yeah.
At that point, it was like, oh, yeah, if Texas Tech offers...
Yeah.
I'll definitely do that.
Yeah.
He would have done just about anything.
Mm-hmm. And then the nice thing is Hakeem's always going to remember that Iowa State was one of the teams that offered him.
They were, yeah. Like, that Iowa State is the one that gave him the Power 5 opportunity, so, like... Like
Texas Tech never did that.
Right. Texas Tech never did. Cliff Kingsbury never did.
Mm-hmm.
And I did think it was interesting the way that Cliff Kingsbury put it, where he's like, I wasn't going to make the same mistake twice.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was cool.
It was.
It was cool for him to recognize that.
Yep. So now he's going to have Kyler Murray slinging him the ball in all likelihood. And they also drafted that other wide receiver, Isabella.
Yeah, from UMass. Yeah.
Which is a completely different kind of wide receiver. Though it was interesting because I believe they both led the nation in downfield yards gained for wide receivers.
Did they?
Yeah.
Isabella's like a smaller guy, though, isn't he?
He is. I want to say he's like 5'10 or something like that.
So he's like your size?
I'm 6'1", Jared.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
You could have been an NFL wide receiver. Like, what'd you do wrong?
I didn't train. If I would have trained, I definitely would have been in the NFL by now. But since I didn't, that's the only reason I'm not.
Yeah, that's got to be what it was.
Yeah.
So on the other, I'm sure that was the only problem.
Yep. Well, you can't prove it otherwise.
Hey, you're not really wrong. I mean, yeah. I guess you could be kind of right on that. But no, I do think that Cardinals offense is going to be fun about the midway point of the season.
Yeah. And on top of all these, you know, really good offensive players they drafted, they bring back David Johnson, obviously.
Yeah, bring back David Johnson. Larry Fitzgerald, who is, like, timeless.
Yeah, he's going to be playing until he's 50, let's be honest.
How old is he?
He's
got to be getting to 40.
I
want to
say he's, like, 38. I'll Google it right now.
Man, Larry Fitzgerald. Shout out to NCAA Football 05.
Larry Fitzgerald age, the third Google result when you go Larry. Oh, he's only 35. I would have guessed he'd be older than that.
Hmm.
But although I should say 35 is pretty ancient in NFL terms. So,
especially at the receiver position.
Yeah.
I feel like he's got – will Larry Fitzgerald get like a going away tour?
I think so. Just because I think
– how big of an NFL player do you have to be to get a going away tour like
well,
that?
Well, I think you have to be a big NFL player and you have to be known as a good guy league-wide.
Yeah.
Because that's what got Dwayne Wade this awesome go-away tour last year. So
yeah, and Dirk.
Yeah,
that's why Dirk got his.
Both of those guys.
Everybody knows Dirk's a good guy.
Yep. So if Larry Fitzgerald had done exactly the same things on the field but had been a complete dick off the field, I don't think he'd get a going-away tour.
You're probably right.
So.
But I would give – in the NFL, I wonder what they would give people. Like, they always give people things.
Well,
in basketball, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's the kind of thing where I could just see lots of people wanting to exchange jerseys and
stuff.
If
it was Des Moines and we had a professional franchise, what would we give someone as their going away present?
That's a great question. I don't know. A few bushels of corn?
Just like a basket of corn.
Yeah. Here, Larry.
Play right into the stereotype.
We know you're originally from Minnesota, and Iowa touches Minnesota, so here's our corn that we're sure you grew up around as well. So, yeah.
All right, but then David Montgomery goes to the Bears, and now we have to deal with playing David Montgomery twice a year.
It's funny because obviously Chris is a Vikings fan. I'm a Vikings fan. You're a Vikings fan. We're kind of all Vikings fans around here.
Rob's a Vikings fan.
Whether people like it or not. And, yeah, while it sucks as a Vikings fan to have to go against David Montgomery, I'm still going to root for him.
Oh, absolutely. I hope that David Montgomery, every time he plays the Vikings, I hope that David Montgomery has 200 yards and zero touchdowns.
Yeah. Well, I would even give him 3 touchdowns as long as the Vikings scored more touchdowns. So.
No, I don't want him to score any points against the Vikings. He can get lots of yards and rack up lots of yards and win rushing titles, but he can't score touchdowns against the Vikings.
See, the thing is, I'm probably going to own him in one or more fantasy leagues, so I'm probably going to want him to score touchdowns.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get a David Montgomery jersey.
It would be.
I might get a Hakeem Butler one, too.
The only Bears jersey you'll ever adorn. So.
I used to have a Brian Urlacher jersey, actually. So.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, back in the day.
Mm. My first jersey, I saw Chris put out that thread on Twitter and on the forums, I believe. My first jersey growing up was a Randy Moss jersey. I think my brother had a Brett Favre jersey.
I had a Fred Taylor jersey.
Nice. Yeah, let's see. Was that the Jaguars?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
I had a Mark Brunell one too.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
So you kind of got around for the NFL jerseys for a while.
Oh yeah. I used to have a lot of jerseys. I had a Mike Vick. I had a Brett Favre. Oh, yeah, everybody had a Mike Vick.
Yeah, because
– Donovan McNabb.
And Falcons Mike Vick, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Had a Donovan McNabb. Who else did I have? I don't think I had any Vikings. Man, I had lots of jerseys. Grant Wistrom, Marshall Faulk. I think I had a Marshall Faulk one.
Yep. No Kurt Warner?
No, not that I can remember.
I haven't heard a lot. Oh, I guess, you said Donovan McNabb and Mark Brunell. I was going to say I hadn't heard very many quarterbacks, but
– Mike Vick. Brett Favre.
Yeah, all right.
One of my friends had a Peyton Manning one that he wore all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I remember like in fifth grade, wearing jerseys was the cool thing.
Yeah.
It was like the coolest thing was to have a bunch of football jerseys.
So then was it the kind of thing where there were weeks at school where you came in a different jersey each day of the week?
Oh, I could have. Yeah. Definitely could have. Yeah. There was somebody that I had that was from the Browns. I can't remember who it was though. Maybe Tim Couch.
Maybe.
It would have been – it was somebody – oh, I had a Byron Leftwich jersey. I remember that one.
Man, you had a lot of jerseys for growing up.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it was just like there went through a time where it was like the coolest thing was to wear jerseys to school.
Hmm. I don't remember that, but then again,
well, I mean, maybe it was just a Clarinda thing.
Well, it might have been a Clarinda thing, and I was homeschooled from second grade to fifth grade. So
that explains a lot.
That was, yeah, because I'm so genius. Exactly. So, but anywho. So, yeah, David Montgomery to the Bears. Not good as a Vikings fan, but I do love the fit because they had traded away Jordan Howard. I do think that David's going to come in and be immediately better than Howard was, especially last year. Uh-huh. I know Howard had a good couple years before that, but he had kind of tapered off, especially the last year.
David Montgomery makes an all-pro team. It's my guess.
Next year?
Not next year. But, like, in the next 4 years, David Montgomery is an all-pro.
Gotcha. What would your prediction for Hakeem be?
Hakeem will be a good receiver. He'll have at least one season where he has 1,000 receiving yards.
Gotcha.
That's my guess.
So do you ever see him becoming their wide receiver one, or do you think he'll just kind of be one of the options out there for them?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's it's hard to guess with.
Yeah.
You never know what the options will be.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got Christian Kirk. Like, they've got they'll have that Isabella guy.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have Larry Fitzgerald for who knows how long.
Yeah. So they're going to spread the ball around a lot, just like we always saw them do at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
So.
Like, at Texas Tech, they never had, like, that one guy. Well, they did in the past, but even under Cliff, I don't remember them having, like, that one guy.
Wesley was pretty good last year.
Yeah.
But it's not like his stats were anything, like, too outrageous.
No. In a lot of their stats, I think people just put it on the fact that they threw the ball all the time.
Yeah. Which is good for Hakeem, because if he's putting up a lot of stats, then that'll be good.
Right. No, I mean, I think that both guys landed in about as good a spot as they possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
The guy I'm most concerned about going to the NFC North is Samson Buchner.
Oh, because he's turning out for the...
Yeah, if he signs with the Packers.
Oh, man.
Like, he's going to be beating up on everybody.
I could see him becoming their fullback that, you know, they give it to him at the line of scrimmage. Or at the goal line.
Yeah.
And he gets, like, 3 touchdowns a game.
He just becomes a fantasy football
monster.
All-star, because everybody will love him. Only thing he does is score touchdowns.
Yeah, it's like John Kuhn for the past few years.
Right.
That'll basically be the role he'll take on.
Yeah. No, I can't. I mean, maybe he'll sign with the Packers. But.
Well, because there was another team that he was trying out for, right?
I don't remember.
Okay. I remembered the Packers for sure, but I think there might have been a second team too.
See, I don't know how that works. That's something that I should talk to somebody about. Mm-hmm. How does the rookie minicamp thing work? Jeff didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a few guys going through that process.
I need to get Alan Lazard on the podcast. So how does the rookie minicamp, undrafted free agents, how does all that stuff work?
He'd be a real easy guy to talk to that about, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. I'm sure that I could definitely make that happen. Him or Joel. Mm-hmm. I could get either one of those guys on.
Yeah.
It might have to be something I do here in the next week or two. When do those things start? Like, next week?
I have no idea.
We don't know anything about rookie minicamps.
Nope. Well, I mean, if Jeff Woody doesn't, then surely we don't.
Kamilo Tongamoa is going to rookie minicamp. Mike Warren's going to rookie minicamp.
Brian Peavy.
Kyle Kempt.
Yeah.
I was surprised that Peave didn't get a...
Unsigned
undrafted free agent contract.
Yeah, I was too, because I thought he had a shot at getting drafted in the 6th or 7th round.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. And then all of a sudden, he's just in rookie minicamp.
And I get it. Especially if he's been playing with injuries for the past year, then that might be one concern. And obviously, like we talked about on a pod last week, his size dings him from the off the bat. So
right. Another guy going into a camp of sorts is Talen Horton-Tucker, invited on Tuesday to the NBA scouting combine in Chicago next month, the 14th through the 19th.
I suspect he'll
I don't know what really there is to talk about that other than just saying it happened.
Yeah, and I suspect the way that he can increase his stock is just to test well athletically, because I think that's what one of the big selling points for him going into the draft will be. So if he can jump out of the gym and, you know, come out with those really big measurables like his wingspan and stuff, then that'll go a long way in his favor.
Yeah. I wonder if he'll go through the 5-on-5.
It makes you wonder, because I think if he did do it, that could be somewhere where he might lose stock.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking too.
And the other interesting thing is Lindell Wigginton, as far as we know, is not getting an invite to the NBA Combine.
I would think that if he did, we would know.
Yep.
Right now.
So, I know it's still extremely a long shot, and especially the tweet that he sent out, you know, announcing he was going to the NBA draft, was that he was he was intending to hire an agent and go through the entire process, I think was what his words were. So is there any shot that, like, if he doesn't get any good feedback at this point and he's not going to go in the draft at all, will he come back? Like, what's the percent likelihood that he comes back at this point?
I don't know. 5%?
Do you think it's
higher than that?
Probably not. But I mean,
I don't know. Like, that, I'm just throwing a number out there.
From a strictly logical perspective, I think at this point he should come back.
Sometimes you don't want to be in college anymore.
I know, dude. And I get it. And I know that's why he's not here or won't be here in all likelihood.
I saw somebody put on the forums that he was back in class.
Yeah. But at the same time, is that really that interesting either?
I don't know.
Like, I think if you're going to classes for 3 months during the season, like college basketball season, surely you want to finish up those classes just so you don't have to come back and do them again.
You think Zion's in class right now?
Well, no, but that's completely different. He's going number one in the draft. It's like, and he's going to make millions of dollars playing basketball no matter what.
We need somebody to get Talen's schedule and find out if he's in class.
Yeah, someone needs to go spot Talen Hunt.
One of our undercover people up at Iowa State.
Yeah.
That's on the forums. Go on there. Go out and see and get Talen's attendance records.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I don't think that Lindell's coming back.
Yeah, which is kind of a bummer because it would be good, but yeah, probably not.
What else is there to talk about?
NBA again. So what's the Nuggets won their first round?
They did win their first round game last night. It's fun to watch the best point guard in the league go against another pretty good one in Monte going against Damian Lillard.
Yeah. Speaking of Damian Lillard, I know you don't watch Game of Thrones, but like, did you see the amount of memes of people photoshopping Arya Stark's face onto Damian Lillard?
Yeah, Damian Lillard. Yeah.
Blah, blah.
I did see that.
Yeah. It was the most, like, overdone thing. Like, I laughed at it the first time, and then it got so old so fast.
I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I always read the episode recaps so that I know what everybody's talking about on the internet.
You gotta stay current that way.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. It's just like I read the Wikipedia for Avengers Endgame so that I know what happens in Endgame.
Oh, gosh.
But I haven't seen it, and I won't see it.
Yep. I mean, this is I've looked at our...
I bet I knew what happened in Avengers Endgame before you did.
You probably did, just because you probably spoiled it for yourself. Well, I take that back.
I'm not spoiling it for myself because I'm not going to watch it.
When did you read the Wikipedia?
Last Wednesday.
It was up on Wikipedia already?
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's disappointing. That Wikipedia would spoil it like that for the masses.
If you're dumb enough to get on Wikipedia before you go and see the movie, then that's your own fault.
But still, though, I mean, like, you think that's common knowledge. Like, if it's not the day, the release day, you can't have that up on Wikipedia yet. They still had another 24 hours before they are legally obligated to do that.
Did you see the movie?
I did, on Thursday at 6.
What'd you think?
I really liked it. It was good. But, of course, we can't talk about your opinion because you haven't actually seen the movie.
It sounded like it was a very fitting way to wrap the entire saga.
It was. And I you know, we won't go into spoilers because I'm sure plenty of people listening to this haven't seen it either. But I there were a few things that were a little far-fetched, but I think they were done.
Shocker, it's a superhero movie. A few things were far-fetched in a movie that is not based
on reality.
I can't
explain myself because it will spoil stuff, so it's unfortunate. I really wish I could right now.
What do you think about spoilers? I thought this was an interesting conversation that Chris and Ross
I was listening
were
to Chris and Ross yesterday, and I completely agree with Ross's take that I think for something like Game of Thrones, where you know everyone's going to be watching it at the same exact time, because it's like
most people.
Yeah. 90% of America, probably. You're in the 10%. But when you, it's the same thing as a sporting event. If you know it's going to be live, in which case the episode premiere essentially is, mm-hmm. even though it's been filmed, people are going to tweet about it immediately, and they're going to put it up on social media. But something like a movie, like people aren't guaranteed to go at 6 p.m. on the Thursday,
right?
Of like I did. Like people might go to it 2 weeks from now. So it's different in that manner. So I think there's a two to three week delay before you can really start talking spoilers for movies. But for a television show, you should be allowed to tweet about spoilers immediately.
You can't get mad when people are spoiling it on
no
Twitter.
And again, at that point, if you're
If you're dumb enough to get on Twitter during something like that, that's your own fault.
Exactly. So just stay off social media. You know what the risk is if you get on there.
I'm going to start watching that show like in 3 years after I forget everything that's happened. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden in 2022, April of 2022, you're going to see me tweeting about
Jon Snow.
Yeah, Arya Stark. And you're going to be like, oh my gosh, Jared's finally watching Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you and Chris will probably both get like, you'll probably get together and be like, Jared, let's knock this out. Yeah. Let's watch Game of Thrones finally.
Yeah. It'll only take me 2 months to knock through the entire show.
That's the nice thing is that once all of the episodes are actually out, you can just binge it from start to finish. So
I feel like that's a hard show to binge from start to finish, though. It's actually, so much going on.
Well, there's a lot going on, but actually, once you get going, it is one that like you can watch a lot back to back to back because you just get so invested.
Have you watched? No, you haven't watched Westworld. I think we've talked about this. Mm-hmm. No, you should watch that one next.
Is that one where you can watch it back to back to back?
No, I actually can't watch more than one episode of that show without having to sit and think about it for like 3 days.
So it's more of a thinker, kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah, really messes you up for a little bit. Yeah. All right. You got anything else? Do we have mailbag questions this week?
I posted the thread pretty late today. I can pull up real fast to see if there's any that we can just do off the top here.
We have a good solid film of water in the jar.
Yeah. I suspect that it'll be about halfway full by the morning.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got four replies to my original post. Okay, yeah, there's a couple good ones, I think. Let's say your birthday falls around the same day or in the immediate vicinity of a major holiday. What's the best holiday for your birthday to coincide with? Which one is the worst? And that's from J. Bend M.
The best one would be like 4th of July.
Agreed.
Because
you're not, you have to immediately rule out any of the holidays where you get gifts.
Right, because then you're going to get fewer gifts for each one.
Yeah, I would hate for my birthday to fall right around Christmas.
Right. So yeah, 4th of July, because you're already going to be partying. You're already going to be celebrating America's birthday. Mm-hmm. Plus, you're celebrating your own birthday.
You probably have some leftover fireworks that you can shoot off for your birthday.
Exactly. So I think that's a no-brainer. Obviously, it's 4th of July.
I'm
and
with
then the
you.
Worst is definitely Christmas.
Yep. So that's a fairly easy answer. Let's see if there's another one real fast. Some of these are funny, but probably not good for podcasts.
Those will be in the mailbag. Everybody read the mailbag.
Okay, so we'll roll with this one. What's an appropriate punishment for scheduling a wedding on a football Saturday?
Don't go.
And now I must ask to
follow up. You didn't get married on a football Saturday, did you?
No, definitely not.
Okay,
good. I got married in the summer.
That's the way to go.
The question is, so what's an appropriate punishment for scheduling a wedding on a football Saturday? So who's the one we're punishing here? Is it the bride and groom for scheduling it?
Yeah.
That's got to be it, right?
Yeah. The value of my gift immediately decreases.
Substantially.
Like, like if I was going to get you a $20 gift, you're not going to get anything.
Yeah. And if I was going to get you like a $50, like nice piece of, you know, glassware or something like that, you're getting the utensils now.
Yeah.
You're getting the plastic utensils on the registry.
Exactly. So. Yeah. No, I'm not. One, I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
So if you get a gift from me at all, you should be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, if any of my friends does that,
okay, so
I will be mad.
Okay, I know your friends probably wouldn't do that because I'm sure they're all into football as well.
Well, and they know that if I'm going to be part of the wedding, I'm not going to come. And I would flat say, if you schedule this wedding during football season, I will not be there.
And so I was just going to run the scenario of what if it was your best friend, like your best buddy of all time. He's had like it's the day of Iowa versus Iowa State. Like the one game that everyone really cares about in the state of Iowa, what would you do? Would you punish him?
I'd say, I hope you guys have projector capabilities because I'm going to record my best man speech.
Yeah.
And you can play it on a video on a projector.
And honestly, I have heard of some people actually showing the game like at the reception, which is kind of cool.
But if I'm working, I'm not going to not work for the Iowa State game.
If I
was going to be the best man, that's what I'd say. It's like, if you want me to be your best man, then you can't have it on that day.
Yeah, and it's different for you because you actually have to cover games and stuff. Yeah. But say you're a regular Joe. You don't have to cover Iowa State for a living. It's just a big game.
That is not – like, that's the one day that I don't think I could justify to Chris. Like, hey, my best friend is getting married. I probably should be there.
Yeah.
That's the only day I think I couldn't justify it to him. Be like, yeah, I am not going to come. I can't work that day. I got to go to the wedding.
You don't think you could justify it to him?
No, I think he'd be like, it's Iowa State. No, you're working.
Oh, so if it was just Iowa State, Oklahoma.
I think I could probably get out of that. Yeah.
Gotcha. Curious. I bet Chris would let you off even though it's Iowa State.
He wouldn't be happy about it though.
No, he would raise more of a fuss if it was the Hawk, because the Hawk guys.
Well, and he would probably immediately say, why are your friends idiots in scheduling a wedding on the day of the Iowa State game?
Anyone with a brain would question, would say that.
Yeah. But I don't think any of my friends are stupid enough to do that either. So, especially my best friends.
So, yeah. So I guess to answer the question, our punishments are worst registry gift item and may or may not be in attendance, depending on how good of a friend you are.
Almost certainly would not be in attendance.
Yeah.
I kind of have a dilemma on my hands here, and I'm going to present it to you.
Okay.
I don't think she listens to the podcast. I'm going to assume that she doesn't.
Cross your fingers there.
I was invited to a wedding.
Okay.
Someone I went to high school with.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that I was okay friends with, good friends with, okay. You know, grew up with, obviously being from Clarinda, small town.
Yep.
You grew up with.
You know everyone.
I know her pretty well.
Okay.
When I see her, you know, hello and talk a little bit, catch up. The problem lies in the fact that she is my best friend's ex-girlfriend.
Interesting. Was it a bad breakup?
Not necessarily bad, but, you know.
They don't like each
other? Tough. No, like, they're fine.
Okay.
I think, yeah.
Okay, I gotcha. So it wasn't a happy thing, but they're not at each other's throats.
No, like, they don't hate each other, but it's not necessarily one of those things where it's like they're going to be best friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they see each other, they might say hi, they might talk a little bit, but then there's probably going to be some sort of like ill will held out of that conversation on at least one side. I don't know whether or not I should go to this wedding.
When is the wedding?
It is in July.
Okay. So you're not going to be held back at all by your job.
No. It is in Minnesota.
Okay.
I should also keep in mind that my other best friend lives in Minnesota. So if I went to the wedding, it would give me a reason, if nothing else, to go and see him.
Okay. So are any of your immediate friend group also going?
Yes. Another one of my best friends is going.
See, I feel like...
Well, me and him are kind of in the same boat, like where both of us are. Mm. You know, it's all like one crew. And me and him were talking about whether or not it would be... whether or not we would be right to go to the wedding.
Well, I mean, if I were you, I would almost even say, hey, like to your friend who is the ex of this girl.
Yeah.
I'll just be like, hey, I was thinking about going to this girl's wedding. Would it be okay with you? Like, I don't want to hurt our friendship by going to it.
See, and I did ask him that because she asked me like at Thanksgiving if she invited me to her wedding, if I would go.
Mm.
And I think at that time I actually said no. That I probably wouldn't. And she invited me anyway.
Yep.
And I think I said to him, like, hey, you know, such and such said this. I said no because I didn't want to upset you or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, man, go.
Mm.
But I don't want to put myself, like, at the same time, I don't know if he's playing me. You know? He's like, but if I do go, then he's going to be mad that I went.
See, that's tough, too, because technically, if you've already had a conversation like that, then it would be a little bit awkward to run it past him again.
Right.
But I feel like you almost even have to, and you just have to get, again, if he's told you twice now that it's actually okay with him, and then you go and he gets mad at you, then that's completely on him. Like, that's not on you. Because if he really cared and it would hurt him so badly that for you to go, he would let you know. So that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I've been really grappling with that, like whether or not I'm going to go.
And if it was the kind of thing where they hated each other so much that it definitely would undoubtedly affect him. Like, they're just mortal enemies till the day that they die. Then that would definitely be off the table.
Okay. I feel better about this now.
Yeah.
A little bit better.
Okay.
Not a ton better, but like enough better to where I feel like it was productive.
At this point, again, since you brought it up, he said that it would be, go ahead, essentially is what he said. I think you have the right to go.
See, it's also one of those situations where I've talked to people that were also our friend in high school that didn't get invited. Mm-hmm. And it's left me and my friend that did, where we're like, why are we the ones that got invited out of all of these people? Where it's people that you would think would be better friends with her than what we were. Hmm. And we got invited, but they didn't.
Gotcha.
And that's where we don't understand, like, what really happened.
Okay. Is this...
So we almost wonder if there's some double...
I know where you're going with
some
this.
Some double motive here.
Yeah. So, is this the kind of girl that would get back at...
That's what I'm saying.
Her
yeah.
ex by inviting her ex's friends?
That's what I'm saying.
Hmm.
Like, she knows that we're his best friends. Would she be trying to make a play, so, you know, like trying to
get revenge?
Make a little bit of a cut here.
Well, okay. So now it comes down to your knowledge of, is this girl that type of person?
I don't know her that well. That's my problem. Like, I know her, but I don't know her like that, you know?
Yeah.
To understand the motives to that level.
Yeah. Do you know the groom?
Kind of. Where if I saw him, I mean...
Is he from Clarinda?
If he wasn't, no. Okay. If he wasn't with her, I probably would not think anything of talking to him. Mm. But if it's like, you know, Thanksgiving Eve, you say what's up, I would say hello. Maybe we would have a short conversation. But other than that, I don't know him like that, you know.
Gotcha. So the groom and your group of friends don't have any prior history then?
Not really, no. Okay. Not outside of her dating him.
Okay. Well, that's a variable you can take out, so that's good. I don't know, man. That would be a little bit sinister if her plan all along was to get revenge that way.
Right? But this is...
I'm usually the kind of person, though, that...
Can you put it past somebody, though?
You can't, but at the same time, I like to be the kind of person that thinks the best of people.
See, I think that I'm just too cynical to where I've almost put more motives into it than what there really is.
Yeah. You don't want to overthink it. Cause, I mean, at the same time, you also have to ask yourself, would this girl be hurt if I didn't come? That's another thing you have to weigh.
See, I think she probably would be disappointed. I mean, if she took the time to ask me twice, like if I was going to come.
Yeah.
And then to send me the note, like send me the invitation and all that stuff. At that point, you're like, man, I feel guilty if I don't go.
Yeah. You at least have to write her a nice card or something.
Yeah. Man, I'm probably going to have to go, aren't I?
At this point, from if what you have said on this podcast is the entire truth, then I think, yeah, you kind of have to go.
I'm going to go. I'm going to commit to it right now.
Okay.
I'm going to go.
Okay.
But I am going to be cynical of skeptical of the entire situation.
Okay.
I will be on full alert for funny business.
All right. So if you get the slightest, you know, sniff of funny business, you should immediately leave while you're there.
Exactly. If I get a sniff of funny business, I'm out and I'm going to go hang out with my friend.
Yep.
And like, that's when I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm done with this wedding.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something else.
That's where you go with your friend who's the ex of the bride and you just go have a good night.
Well, somewhere. I don't think he'll be there.
Well, I know, but like elsewhere, wherever he is, you go with him.
Oh, well, he's since moved away, so he's not really in the area to where, but I'll FaceTime him. I'll FaceTime him and say, hey, I sniffed it out. Yeah. I sniffed out the problems at this wedding. I want you to know out of principle that I've left.
There you go.
And that's where I think that everyone would win.
That could really bond your friendship even more.
Right, right.
All right. So the plan's been mapped out. You're ready to roll now.
All right. Yeah. I'll send in my RSVP tonight.
There you go.
We'll be right back on Stands and Fits, presented by the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State.
Hey, guys. It's Chris interrupting this podcast because, you know, everybody wants to know that I get it asked all the time. How can we help Cyclone Fanatic? Well, you help Cyclone Fanatic by you support our advertisers. And everybody needs to be aware of eye care. I wasn't for a long time. And I went to Ames Eye Care and they really helped me out. It's changed my life. I don't have headaches the way that I did. You've heard me talk about this. They're also in Des Moines at Des Moines Eye Care. And you need to think about this with your family. Get the kids checked out. Encourage the wife. Anything. Personalized eye care. Designer eyewear. I've got these sweet Maui Jim glasses that I use at work all the time. People think they look awesome. They meet your whole family's vision needs at Ames and Des Moines Eye Care. Check them out today and support Cyclone Fanatic.
Lawn care with unmatched service. Landscapes custom designed. Sprinkler systems installed and serviced.
Thanks, Central Iowa, for 30-plus years of your support.
A-plus lawn and landscape.
Welcome back to the Carl Chevrolet Studios in Ankeny. Stands and Fits, presented by the professional MBA program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State.
Let's roll with Hot and Not.
Let's roll with Hot and Not. Not the not this week is we should deciding whether or not to go to weddings.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, no, that's not really what
I thought. I thought you were actually going to roll into our knots first.
Oh, no.
We do kind of share knots. Maybe we should just start with the knots then.
My knot this week is Sports Illustrated.
And my knot this week is ESPN the magazine.
For different reasons.
Did you get a text? What is it? Is it podcast appropriate?
No. No, it's something about nothing. So, you know, Chris and I are going to DMX tomorrow.
Yeah.
He texted me completely out of the blue. You want to hear something crazy? DMX doesn't have an official website. And, like, that's what the impetus of the conversation was. And I said, seriously.
That is surprising.
And he said, not that I can find. I guess I just found one for his tour. And then what he said next, I'm not going to say.
Oh, great. What's okay? If can you translate it to PG?
If I hope stuff doesn't.
It must be pretty.
No, it really does. I think he said, "Oh,
stuff doesn't get screwed up."
I hope stuff doesn't get too crazy in Saugat, Illinois. Okay, now I get what he's saying. So he's saying that he hopes things don't get too crazy at their concert tonight. The concert tonight or tomorrow wasn't very
like
good.
He doesn't OD on drugs after the concert or anything like that. God,
why'd you have to do that, man?
Sorry, knock
with
on
all
wood.
The problems that X has had in his life, man. Like, come on.
Sorry.
Don't put that bad juju in here.
Okay, one thing, I do not know the complete history of DMX like you. Like, I'm not a disciple.
Of all the problems DMX has had, and then you just put that on him. All right. So, apparently, Sports Illustrated, which has been sold multiple times in the last several years. Well, really one time, I guess, to Meredith Corp.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Des Moines. Is on the verge of selling Sports Illustrated again to a group called Authentic Brands Group. In this article from WWD, I don't know what WWD is, but it says, if Authentic Brands Group is successful in snapping up Sports Illustrated, it would undoubtedly become primarily a licensing and digital play. According to sources, the print magazine would continue to be published for at least the next 2 years as AGB works to capitalize on its content to extend the brand's reach into a number of sports-related businesses. That could include everything from camps for kids to sports rehabilitation clinics, sources said. So in other words, one of the great sports journalism cornerstones would become like marketing material for these licensed groups that this company owns,
man,
or has the licensing for.
You would think that would be the death of Sports Illustrated.
The Sports Illustrated would be dead forever.
Yep. I would not read Sports Illustrated anymore.
I don't read Sports Illustrated outside of online anymore anyway.
Yeah. I haven't picked up a print magazine in quite a while.
But that would literally be the end of Sports Illustrated as we know it.
And speaking of print magazines, ESPN, the magazine's last print issue will be in September, and it'll be their annual body issue. So just gone are the days that I would go to the dentist's office and, you know, pick up ESPN, the magazine to read.
ESPN, the magazine was awesome back in the day.
Yeah.
When you had Bill Simmons, you had Rick Riley.
And, you know,
Wright Thompson.
All those obviously are very good. And even before, like, I got into the journalism side of things and before I had cell phones, like back when I was a kid, the sports magazines would be the one that I'd read.
Right. I was the kid reading Sports Illustrated in the third grade, you know.
Yep.
The guy that picked it up to read Tom Verducci or Jeff Perlman.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Riley again. I love Rick Riley back in the day.
Yep.
He's kind of lost his touch in recent years, but it's okay. He's become a little bit of a meme.
Who does he write for now?
I don't know that he writes for anybody now.
He might not.
I don't know who he works for.
But so a sad day for sports magazines.
Sad day for sports magazines. Sad day for sports journalism in general.
Indeed.
The death of the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It was inevitable, really.
Yep. Long live podcasts, though.
Long live podcasts. Long live the internet.
Yes. Two very good things.
Two very, very good things. We will rue the day when we let the magazines go, though.
Yes.
Actually, probably not.
Yeah, probably not. No, I'm not going to miss the print issue that much.
No.
There's
just something nice about holding it in your hands.
There is. And, you know, keep the journalism part of it and just move it online. That's all you have to do.
Right.
So.
We'll see. I don't know. Jury's still out. I think it could be okay. I'll believe it when I see it, though.
All right. What's your hot this week?
My hot this week 6 years ago today, April 30th, this was being released on May 1st, but 6 years ago on April 30th, the release of one of the greatest mixtapes in history, Chance the Rapper's Acid Rap. Shout out to Acid Rap, one of the best top to finish mixtapes that I've ever listened to, and it will forever live in history.
So, and again, I'm rap unintelligent. Was Acid Rap essentially Chance the Rapper's like debut?
It was not his debut. His debut was actually called 10 Day, but this was his second mixtape, and it's probably his best one.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well,
at least to date, he's putting out a new album in July. So,
Very good.
His debut album.
Wait.
He's only put out mixtapes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. And how many tracks does it have to be considered an album? Is it like 10 or more?
It's
however many you want.
It's really just whatever you consider it to be.
All right.
You can call it whatever you want to, and he's never had an album in his mind. So,
well, good for Chance. All right, my hot this week, Vince Carter. He has announced that he's coming back for his 22nd NBA season.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Like, I would guess that Vince Carter would probably have retired like 3 years ago. Like, I thought he was in the twilight of his career 3 years ago, and he's still playing at this point. And still playing at a pretty high level, too.
Vince Carter is timeless. Like Larry Fitzgerald, Vince Carter is timeless.
They must, like, be distant relatives somehow.
Shout out to, like, there will never be another. Everything has gone south for the slam dunk contest since 2000.
And, okay, I was going to ask you this question as well. Do you consider Vince Carter the best dunker in NBA history?
At least in modern history, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he could do it. He could do the crazy dunks in the contests, and he could do it in the games.
In the games. Man, that Olympic dunk where he jumped over the dude.
Right.
That was crazy.
There was a period in time where Vince Carter was on another planet from every other person playing the game.
Yeah.
And then LeBron James came and it changed everything.
Exactly. I mean, before LeBron, you probably point at Vince Carter as the most athletic guy in the NBA.
Yeah. And the way that he's been able to reinvent himself from that guy to being now in his 22nd year, still being a productive player. Yep. That's incredibly impressive.
Exactly. Like back then, I feel like he probably had to rely on his athleticism more often than not. And now he's grown some more finesse into his game.
Exactly. So. Yeah, definitely. Shout out to Vince. His podcast is also very good. Winging It on The Ringer.
Oh, nice.
With Ken Bazemore. Very good. I endorse that fully.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Pick four?
Pick four.
All right. I made a list, but mine, I'm just going to say mine in no particular order.
All right.
So. You can go first.
Our pick four this week, we went with U.S. cities we'd like to visit. So do you just want to roll through yours in a row? I feel like this is probably better to just go through yours straight, and then I'll go through mine straight.
Okay, so I've got San Diego. Is that right?
Yep.
San Diego, Boston, Seattle, and Los Angeles.
So give me like one sentence on each of those, why you'd want to go there.
San Diego, just the beautiful weather. I think that'd be a place where you would enjoy your time.
75 degrees every day.
You would have a hard time being sad in San Diego.
Agreed.
That should be there. You can't be sad in San Diego. That should be their slogan.
Yeah, town motto. Yeah.
It's much better than the one that Ron Burgundy came up with. Boston, just a lot of history. I've been to a lot. That's like the only major city on the East Coast, really, that I haven't been to. I've been to D.C., been to New York City.
Yep.
I think that'd be a really cool place to visit. Go to Fenway and see all that kind of stuff. Seattle, I love the Pacific Northwest. Hopefully I can go back there when the Sonics are back and visit Seattle. And then L.A., the weather. It's like the hub of entertainment.
Yeah.
The hub of... seems like everything nowadays. And that's like that's just a place I definitely would want to be.
I am 100% in agreement on LA. That was my number two on my list. So I'll just say that. Number one for me is New York City. You said you'd been. I have not been yet.
I hated New York City.
I feel like it's the kind of thing where you have to see it one time, but then maybe that's enough for a Midwesterner.
I think you can make your judgment on it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know?
And I feel like from all I hear is that the people are just a little bit different there too.
Yeah. It's like the thing for me is like LA is more spread out. I think that if I was not going to live here, I could live in LA.
I feel like I'd have a lot easier time adapting to LA than I would New York.
Right. If I was to move to New York, I could not handle it. There's just way too much going on.
Yeah. And everyone's just packed in there like sardines.
Yeah, exactly. It's just way too close together for me.
Yep.
Claustrophobia.
Although, again, I'd like to see the Empire State Building. I'd like to see Statue of Liberty and just do Central Park, all those things. I'd like to
definitely a thing you should see. before you die, but one of those things that once you've seen it, it's like, okay, well, I've seen it. Now I'm good. Yeah. Never going back.
Exactly. Number three on my list, Maui, just for the weather factor and because it's tropical, you know, beaches, all that good stuff.
Uh-huh.
So number four, I've never been to, well, I've been in Denver. I would like to go to Denver and not be in the airport.
Okay.
So I've been in the Denver airport, but not walked around.
Did you at
around.
Least do some investigating while you were in the Denver airport?
What do you mean by investigating?
You know what goes on in the Denver airport, right?
Maybe.
We can talk about this off the podcast.
All right.
I don't want the Illuminati to get onto me.
So to answer your question, no, I do not believe I've done any investigating in the Denver airport.
You missed a serious opportunity, I'll tell you.
And I should say Boston just missed out on my list. I would like to see all the history related to Boston. And I've been to Washington, D.C. I would like to go back there, though, just because when I did go, I was in high school. And it was at the age where I'd just rather be going to, like, theme parks and stuff and having, like, you know, going on rides.
Yeah.
But instead of we're going to the Smithsonian. And
dude, I would love to go back to go to the Smithsonian again.
I would love to, too. I think I'd find it much more interesting now than I did 10
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah.
And at the time while we were going there too, I was texting one of my first crushes and like, it was on my track phone. So like every text, like, you know, you lost your credit and it was just,
you really had to make every text count. Yeah. Make it count. Yeah.
Yeah. So that I was very distracted and didn't really want to do all the stuff that Washington D.C. is actually cool for. So I'd like to go back there too. So
there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Gone are the days of track phones, man.
Did you ever have a track phone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, even when I first got my first actual real phone, I think I had a messages limit. Like, it'd send, yeah. like, 250 messages a month or something.
See, so many people growing up went straight to the real thing, and I was stuck with a track phone, like, all the way up through. I think I got my first real phone as a freshman in high school, and by that time...
I had my first real phone as a seventh grader.
Okay.
So we would have been basically the same age.
Yeah, you're right. So we probably got our phones about the same time.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, it's like all my friend group was having unlimited texting, blah, blah, blah. They got to do it all the fun stuff, and I was stuck there. Maybe probably had like 100 messages a month or something like that.
See, so. I remember the day, though, when you had 100 messages, and it's like, man, that's a lot of texts.
It seemed like a lot.
You know?
But you can burn through that so fast.
Right. That seemed like a ridiculous number of text messages to be able to send.
Yeah. Okay. Because once I actually started getting a real phone and real, you know, unlimited stuff, like, they'd send you reports on how many texts you send.
Right.
And I think one time my dad, like, came up to me, and he was like, Kevin, you sent 500 text messages this last month. I was like, it doesn't seem like that much.
I remember my mom and dad telling me at one point, this was after I had unlimited text messages, but them telling me when I was probably like a senior in high school, junior or senior, and them telling me I'd sent like 20,000 text messages in a month or something.
Holy crap.
But no, but really it's not that crazy.
Yeah.
Because now, like, back then it was a little different. You didn't quite text and have conversations with people in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now, like, I probably send a couple hundred text messages just in a day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And that's because when you're texting somebody, you're having a conversation with them. It's not just like saying blah, 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 and that's it. And then they might reply, okay, or something.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, you're like having a back and forth,
yeah.
you know?
So you're kind of describing the way we use email now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But back then it used to be like more of like a letter. It was more less personal. Now it's just like, you're basically talking to someone,
yeah.
but you're doing it with your thumbs,
yep.
you know?
It's crazy to think that.
That's what it's like. What MSN Messenger was back then.
Yeah, man, MSN Messenger. That takes me back too.
Because on MSN Messenger, that's what you were doing. You were having a conversation with
yeah.
somebody.
It was texting, but on the computer.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when you're texting, you had the character limits and all that stuff. Like, you had to really make everything count. It was harder to have an actual conversation with somebody.
Yep.
And now it's like, it's no big deal. You know. I don't even know how many text messages I send in a month now.
I don't even want to know.
No.
Although I don't text that many people. Like, obviously, I text you like maybe like two or three times every time we're going to record each week. But other than that, text my wife every day. But it's not like I have that big of a friend group anymore. So.
See, but back when I was like a senior in high school, junior, senior in high school, that's when I was, you know, I was working my game all the time.
yeah.
Out there trying to make my, you know, make my moves.
Yep.
And
what's changed? Nothing.
Exactly. just kidding.
Yeah, you've changed. Not that I knew you in high school, but I'm sure.
Oh man, what a world, dude! It is crazy just to think about.
even in our
MSN Messenger and all that kind of stuff.
Like, we're not that old, but yeah, like, going from MSN Messenger to text messages to, you know, all these social media apps, it's just, even in our short lifetime compared to a lot of people, a ton has been developed in technology.
See, I remember, like, it used to be where, like, when I was in high school, like, on Facebook, you could, like, meet people through Facebook, you know? Now, if someone that I don't know adds me on Facebook, I'm like,
delete.
Who are you?
Yeah.
You know? But that's, like, how it is on Twitter now, where you can become friends with somebody through Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Just through, like, random interaction.
Yep.
And I would not become friends with someone on Facebook and then, like, meet them later.
That's what I do love that part about Twitter, is that, like, you get to know someone a lot better by, like, their thoughts and what they type out.
Right.
As opposed to just seeing pictures and
Well, and you're more likely to just to have enough interaction with someone to where if you saw them out, you know, like in the world,
yeah.
There's plenty of times where I'll have someone come up to me and say, hey, I follow you on Twitter or whatever. Or I've seen you on Twitter.
Yeah.
And that's not weird, you know,
mm-hmm.
But if somebody's like, oh, I have you as a friend on Facebook, I'd be like,
what?
Okay.
You stalker you?
Yeah. Like, I'd be like, oh, okay.
Mm.
Cool.
Yeah, I haven't looked at my Facebook in like a year, but
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool, dude.
Yeah. All right, man. You got anything else?
Nope. Let's wrap this thing up.
Let's wrap this thing up. Talk to you guys again soon. Thanks to Carl Chevrolet, presenting sponsor of the Carl Chevrolet Studios. Thanks to the professional MBA program, the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State. Talk to you guys again next week. Peace.